Welcome to Comic Culture here on 93.3 CFMU McMaster Radio. Now also podcast on comicbookdaily.com. I'm your co-host, Walter DeRaglia, joined as always by my illustrious co-host, Chris Owen, professor of comic book history at Hamilton's Mohawk College. Hey, Chris.
Walter, good afternoon. How are you today?
Fine, Chris. How are you this fine Wednesday afternoon?
It's Wednesday. I'm doing great. I liked how you almost forgot where we're being podcast.
Yes. Yeah. It seems like I forget almost every week.
Well, that's okay, because you know what? We've got other things on our mind.
Yes,
like new comics.
Like new comics,
Absolutely. Which, of course, brings us to our first segment of the day, New Comic Book Day.
Again.
I think last week
you called it New Comic Book Day.
Yeah.
And I like to prefer, I refer to it as the day that new comics come out.
Anyway you slice it,
yes,
it's still New Comic Book Day.
Yes.
The comics are coming out today.
Yes. And as always, we like to feature a few of the new things hitting the stands today. Lots of fans, Chris. Lots of fans.
You know what?
Of Criminal.
Oh, right. I thought you were going to say of the show.
Of the show. I think there's more fans of Criminal than the show. For now, people.
All right, fair enough.
Criminal, The Sinners number two is finally out. Eddie Brubaker is doing great with Criminal. He took a hiatus for Incognito, and he's doing all his work with, off of Daredevil now.
Yeah, but he's still doing Captain America.
Yeah, and so he's a busy boy. Yeah. But it's always a pleasure, and fans always await when he revisits Criminal.
Absolutely,
So that hits the stands today.
That's cool.
Fantastic Four, 573.
Oh, yeah.
Hits the stands today.
Okay.
And I noted that, and I wanted to talk about it a bit with you, Chris.
Why is that an issue?
Well,
I mean, we know it's an issue, but why is it a big issue?
Okay, Fantastic Four was in the early days, you know, Marvel's flagship title.
Yeah, it really was, yeah.
It launched the whole Marvel era.
Yeah, absolutely.
But, and then it's lost its stock value for a while. I mean, the heroes, I guess, weren't as approachable as, say, Spidey and Daredevil or even Hulk.
Well, you know, I mean, it was about a family, and a lot of kids reading comics couldn't really relate to a family. They could relate to the fantasies of, you know, of like the destruction of the Hulk, or they could relate to being Spider-Man because he was in high school.
Right.
You know, but how do they relate to
a family that gets along?
A family. Exactly.
Right.
Right.
The heck's that about?
Yeah.
And then, I guess a couple of years ago, things looked good for the Fantastic Four.
Things looked good for the Thing?
Yes, they probably did, too.
Excellent.
But the Fantastic Four,
right,
it got picked up with the movies.
Fantastic
4 2 came out. There was good buzz around that
because
of Galactus. And that's right. And I don't know. It seems to me now that Fantastic Four has kind of lost its stock value again.
It lost a little bit of steam, I agree. Well, you know, although I thought the Fantastic Four movies have been really great as far as, you know what, they're not going to win any Oscars. They're completely popcorn-munching, Sunday afternoon flicks, you know, nothing great. But I thought, especially the second one, I thought was really an
entertaining
movie. Yep. However, having said that, they don't have the same kind of value that, say, the Iron Man movie has had, the Dark Knight movie.
Yes.
So I think as a franchise, the Fantastic Four has lost a little bit of its chutzpah.
Luster.
Yes, exactly.
But hey, there are tons of FF fans still out there. 573 hits the stands today.
Now, is there anything actually groundbreaking happening about 573?
Not really. Ben and Johnny have big plans for a much-needed vacation in the company of refugees from the future. Booze, ladies, misadventures.
I can't believe you thought that wasn't entertaining enough.
What am I talking about? I'm picking it up right now.
I'm getting two copies.
Wow. All right. From Marvel's as well, Powers number one hits the stands today. Now, Powers.
Now, that's with
Brian Bendis.
Brian Michael Bendis and Michael Avon Oeming.
Yeah, Michael Oeming.
Now, this is under their, I don't know if you know or not, I don't know is this still under their Icon imprint?
I believe it's under Marvel.
Marvel, okay. Yeah, yeah. Because, remember now, Marvel had their own little version of creator-owned comics, which is under Icon.
Right.
And Powers and Kabuki were part of that. And it looks like now Powers is starting up again.
Yes, Powers is starting up again. I honestly don't know if it. I mean, it, I found it under in the Mar. Like I basically go into the Marvel site,
right,
and check their releases for today. I believe it is under Marvel.
Okay.
Now, what would you say with Powers? Is it was it a cult following back?
Absolutely. Yeah. You know what? I personally wasn't a huge fan of it myself. I didn't find it all that entertaining. However, having said that, I'm a minority by far in for this particular franchise, because the number of people that came up to me afterwards and said how phenomenal Powers was, it was astounding. Like, people would come up, and that's really how Brian Michael Bendis got his really big break, right? Yes. Like, he had done Torso, he had done a couple other graphic novels. Right. However, it was Powers that really set him set the standard for his writing style.
Well, I know for a while, I mean, till this day, I'm sure, but I know Powers always sold well for us as graphic novels.
Yeah. Now, and for those of you listening, Powers was about, it was a detective story about a couple of cops who were investigating superhero criminal activity, So it really was an interesting take, because it was ordinary kind of people having to go into this sort of superhero realm and figure out what was going on.
You know, it's Fantastic Four meets Criminal.
What a tie-in. That is the mother of all tie-ins.
Wow. Well, I'm good at this, Chris.
You really are.
Hey, on the DC side, Blackest Night number 5 hits the stands today.
Oh,
it's a big thing, Chris.
Absolutely.
I always mention when it comes out, because it's the big boat chugging through DC right now, that Blackest Night. It's an 8-part series.
Yep.
It's dead people everywhere.
Well, you know what? One of the fun things about it, I do read it, and I think it's good. I don't think it's the next coming of comics or anything like that.
Right.
However, one of the things I do find fun about it is seeing all the characters that I've always liked portrayed as dead people. Right.
Yes.
So seeing all these old characters that have died in the past coming back, you know, they're like, it's just fun to see them kind of as these zombie like people.
Excellent. Excellent. And from DC, I'll end it with DC with a bit of a tie-in with this later on in the show. Sergeant Rock, The Lost Battalion, the graphic novel, collecting the 6-issue miniseries that happened earlier this year.
Right.
The graphic novel hits the stands today. Sergeant Rock, an iconic, he's not a creation, obviously, but an iconic character, really tied to Kubert more than anybody else.
Yes, absolutely,
artist,
absolutely.
Right?
Well, now, I'm not familiar with, do you know who did this story, or was it?
This story here was by Billy Tucci.
Oh, Billy Tucci, okay, yeah. He was more famous for his She series.
Right, yes.
Now,
the thing I know about She, Chris, it had a lot of kind of, it was all TNA.
Yes, it really was.
And each book had like 17 different covers of different, you know.
Embosomed, what's that?
Embosomed.
Yeah, right. You know what's interesting? You mentioned Sergeant Rock being sort of an iconic character.
Yes.
You know what? I have to say that, you know, he has his own Toon Tumbler. And for those of you who don't know, Toon Tumblers are
drink?
Glasses that have the characters on the glass.
Yes.
And there's a Sergeant Rock one.
Beautiful.
So you know what? You've made it to the big leagues as a comic
when
character.
You have a Toon Tumbler.
When you have a Toon Tumbler.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, let's back up. Beep, beep.
All right.
Back up.
Yeah.
You can't mix a martini in a Sergeant Rock Toon Tumbler.
Absolutely
right?
Not. Absolutely not.
Like a
no.
James Bond one, yes.
No,
but
yes.
Sergeant Rock, it has to be like a scotch.
Yeah, or yeah, exactly. Or a beer. Or something,
or beer,
like,
yeah. All right. Chris, we'll stop there with the new releases today. We encourage the people, as always, to jump into your local comic store, check out today's new releases, and sample some.
Absolutely. Okay, now we're going to move into industry news.
Industry news.
Yes.
Chris, industry news. I'm going to start with a story about, New York there?
CNN.
The one where they, Wall Street Journal.
Oh, Wall Street Journal. Okay, right. There's something about comics in the Wall Street Journal?
Well, it was about, it mentioned the big paydays for the Marvel brass if the Disney deal goes through, which it should.
Oh, right. I mean, that hasn't actually finished going through
yet? I guess
yet?
It's not official. You know, the T's haven't been dotted and the I's haven't been crossed.
I'm glad you know your English well.
But, apparently, you know, and they've actually mentioned the payout amounts. And what intrigued me is, now, the Marvel CEO, Isaac Perlmutter.
Right.
I guess he owns most of Marvel.
He probably has a majority of the shares.
Right, because his payout will be $1.6 billion.
Oh, come on. Are you serious?
Yes.
Wow, really?
That's a good chunk of change.
You know, I wouldn't even know what to do with $1.6 billion.
No. I wouldn't know what to do with $6. Okay? I mean, that's a lot of money.
It really is.
Now, the thing, though, is there's a whole bunch of these. I guess now he's ownership, I guess. Right,
right. Right. You know, at one time I actually had a share in Marvel Comics.
You did?
I actually did.
Before bankruptcy or after?
Before bankruptcy. I actually had
it's worthless.
Well, yeah, you're right. But I had a number of shares, actually. Wow. I bought them on the open market. And I did sell them because I made a little bit of a profit.
Yeah.
But
is that the same place you bought your college diploma?
No, I got that at Clown College.
Oh, yes. That explains the shoes, Chris.
And the red nose. Oh, wait. Maybe that's from the alcohol.
Yes. Yeah. Chris, hold on. Let's get it back together.
Sorry.
Okay. And it lists a whole bunch of Marvel executives and their payouts.
Yes.
James Halpin getting $10 million. These people mean nothing to me. But
right.
the point is, there's, you know, a dozen guys here getting $5 million, $8 million,
right,
$10
million. Right.
I mean, just, I don't know how this deal was structured, but I think, the old boys club was taken care of first.
Oh, absolutely, yes.
Thing, so.
And now I wonder if Stan Lee's going to get anything extra out of all this.
Yeah, I don't know either.
Really?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, he is the ambassador for Marvel Comics, right? At one point, that was his role. I don't think he's actually paid to do that anymore.
Yeah.
But he still takes pride in of his work, of course, so he still does it.
You know what? I think, though, as long as Marvel stock is high, and I don't mean the stock value of the stock.
No, but
I'm just talking about the Marvel stock is high.
Sure.
Stan Lee is not hurting.
No, never.
Because he will always be, the figurehead for Marvel.
Yep.
And as long as Marvel is popular,
yep,
Stan Lee will be getting paid somewhere.
Absolutely. Right. Excelsior.
Excelsior.
Right.
All right. Hey, Gareb Shamus.
Yep.
The owner of the Wizard World comic magazine,
and
the conventions. He's now bought the New England Comic Con.
Oh, get out, really?
That is from Boston.
Yes.
And this is coming on the heels of him buying
Toronto.
The Toronto Comic Con.
Yeah, yeah.
And he is planning some sort of Wizard World Comic Con tour.
Wow.
Yeah, so he's got a whole bunch of cities lined up so far. New England.
Right.
Toronto.
Yeah.
Anaheim.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't know about Anaheim. Okay.
Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Chicago.
Anchorage.
No.
Oh, okay.
Coming soon, though, probably. and New York.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, New York is next year.
Okay.
Well, they're all next year. But Wizard Entertainment has indicated that it plans to announce additional shows.
Very cool.
In the coming weeks.
So, very cool.
I mean, what do you think, Chris? I mean, you and I are Comic Con veterans.
We are, yes.
If this guy's going around buying these cons, does he go to Pittsburgh?
Well, Pittsburgh is a good show. I don't think it's big enough for him.
Was Boston though?
But I don't think Boston was either. And I think he could probably make those shows pretty big.
Right.
Pittsburgh always had a good fan base. The problem with Pittsburgh is that it always seemed to revolve around other shows. Like there was always another show, like a toy show or something like that, that was going on at the same time,
right,
or the week before or something like that.
Okay.
That was in that area.
Yeah.
There's certainly enough of a fan base in people for Pittsburgh for a big show. There's lots of small dealers, and I think they need to get a few bigger dealers. Like Harley's always there,
right?
Harley Yee is a big comic dealer.
Yep.
Motor City Comics is always there. So there's certainly lots of big dealerships going to the
car Pittsburgh dealership or comic dealership.
Comic dealers, I should say.
Okay, sorry.
And but you know what? I wonder if like shows like the I think he'd be better off trying to buy shows like the Mid-Ohio Con.
Yeah, now Mid-Ohio Con, that's Columbus, right?
Yeah, that's Columbus, Ohio.
And when is that? That's all usually in the fall?
Yeah, no, it's usually in like, maybe it is in the fall. Maybe you're right.
Okay. I'm sure they change around, though. But
Or the Heroes Con.
That's in Charlotte.
Charlotte. Or there's a Wonder Con in like Oregon or something like that. So.
Okay.
But I think they'd be better off doing some of the bigger shows,
right,
rather than hitting up the really tinier ones.
Right.
You know what?
What
I would love to see him do? Detroit.
Oh, Motor City.
Detroit has a great Motor City Con.
Now, we know Michael Goldman. He's... I don't think Michael He's a great businessman. He owns that great Motor City Comics.
Right.
I don't think he's hurting to sell his show. He's an independent, and he may end up being, you know, last man standing as an independent.
You know what? He very well might be, because the Motor City Comic Con is really very unique in the comic book industry.
Yes.
He brings in not only a comic book guest, but a myriad of entertaining celebrities from all across the
spectrum. Yeah, I remember last time we were there last year. Who was there? Jill Gerard.
Jill Gerard. I love that Jill Gerard.
Jill Gerard, for people that are younger than 30, was Buck Rogers in the 80s TV show.
Yeah, and he has a number of wrestlers that come in.
Right.
And he always has...
Lou Ferrigno is usually there.
Lou Ferrigno is always there. At the last show, he had most of the cast from Three's Company was there.
Get out!
Yeah, so Janet, I don't know what her real name is, but Janet was
Larry
there.
Was Larry.
Larry was there.
Oh, I love
Larry. Yeah, Larry was there.
I can relate to Larry.
For those of you who know Three's Company, you'll understand.
Right.
But anyways, the point of the matter is, you're absolutely right. He's not hurting
at all. Do you remember last year? Sorry, just to keep going with the Motor City.
Yes.
He had for a couple years, the last living Munchkin.
Oh, yeah. From Wizard of Oz.
Wizard of Oz.
Yeah, I remember that.
Great. He got mad at some people that they didn't, one year, they took a picture with him and they didn't pay him, which is kind of like that Hollywood story we ran last week. But
you know, and you know what? They always have some guy who was like saying he was third Jawa from Star Wars or something.
And 2 years ago, my favorite was they had Seika, the Swedish porn queen. She had her own booth there.
That was the
only booth that had a lineup. And it was all gray-haired guys or bald guys.
Because nobody else knew who she was.
No, nobody else knew who she was. Okay. Anyway, we wish you a Merry Christmas.
Yeah, wiss.
We wish Mr. Seamus success.
Absolutely.
With New England and with Toronto and with everything. And, you know, the world needs more Comic-Cons.
Of course they do. Yes. Of course, absolutely.
Speaking of cons.
Yes.
Chris, while you were gallivanting on the West Coast this weekend.
I was in Kamloops on the weekend, yes.
I was at the Toronto Con, the convention in Toronto.
Yeah, and you know what? If I wasn't in BC at the time, I would have been at the show.
Of course you would have. It was a good show. I met and Kevin Boyd, by the way, says hi. Kevin Boyd is one of the officers of the Schuster Awards, and but Chris now is on.
Yes, I'm actually an officer now.
Yes, you are.
I am the media officer.
Yes, and Kevin said to say hi.
Okay.
And he's looking forward to being on the show. We're going to have Kevin and a couple of the other Schuster guys on an upcoming show to talk about the organization.
Yep.
And I went with David Deep, who's an editor with Comic Book Daily.
Oh, yes. I've read his work. Yep.
And he snagged some great interviews with creators and stuff. And it was a good show. It was a small show. But boy, you know, in November, nothing much happening. Just a conglomeration of comic fans. It was great.
I got to say that November is probably a great time to have a show, like a smaller but not huge show, kind of mid-sized, I guess. Because really, there's not a whole lot going on anywhere in November as far as the show circuit goes. And a comic geek like myself would love to go to a show in November, really, because it's not too cold that you don't want to go outside, you don't want to be all bundled up.
Yeah.
But at the same time, there's nothing else going on,
so really,
you want to get out there and do something.
It was a good show.
Yeah, I would have liked to have been there.
Hobby Star was the company that put on the show, and I think they have another one coming up in the Super Bowl.
Hey, you know what? Why don't we really have to have Hobby Star on the show one of these days.
That's a good point.
We got to get Aman Gupta
and James Armstrong
on the show. Yeah,
you're right.
We should have them on the show. I'm
okay,
sure
we'll
love
ask.
To be on. Yeah.
We'll ask. All right, we'll pay their gas or something.
Or at least give them,
drinks.
Drinks or something. Yes.
Okay, Chris, rumors.
Rumors.
Only rumors.
Yep.
Anna Hathaway to appear in Spider-Man 4.
Hmm.
Yeah. So I guess there's on some sort of blog website, some sort of insider.
Do we know what role she's going to have?
No, they say that they don't think she's going to be replacing Kristen Dunst, as Mary Jane.
Nope.
So the speculation is what's she going to
play? Black Cat.
Now, see, some people are saying the Black Cat, but this is the cool thing about the internet is others are saying she's more the Spider-Woman type.
Oh, yeah, I never even thought of Spider-Woman. Yeah.
So
very interesting.
Perhaps yeah. playing Spider Woman.
Yeah, Spider Woman. Yeah. Now, I hope that they go that route and not like, you know, some old Madame Web kind of thing where she's like, you know, Agatha Harkness or whatever her name is from, like, you know, it's supposed to be 80 years old.
No.
And I can't believe I actually know these names, by the way.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
Yeah, well, for you comic book geeks, you know what I'm talking about out there.
All right. Spider-Man 4 is set to debut in May 2011.
Oh, so we got a while still.
Yeah, we still got a year and a half. Right, so, okay. What else? Idris Elba joins the Thor cast to play Heimdall.
Heimdall. Is that how you say
he's
it?
Keeper of the protector of
The Asgardian, the rainbow, the Rainbow Bridge.
The bridge, yes.
Yeah. Oh man, I really am a geek.
Man, see, you say Rainbow Bridge. I say, you know, Hendrix in Hawaii. Chris.
Yes, that
leaves us counting now. We have Chris Hemsworth as Thor.
Right.
I don't know who Chris Hemsworth is.
You know what? He's the guy. You didn't see the... Well, what am I talking about? You don't see any movies.
Yeah.
But you know what? He was in the latest Star Trek movie playing... Captain Kirk's dad is basically his best way. He was that guy.
How can he be Thor then? He was old.
He's not old. This is like Captain Kirk's dad when he was young.
Oh, right. The guy that blew up before he went into the...
Right. Yeah.
I'm sorry. It was a spoiler. Spoiler alert.
No, yeah. A little late now.
Yeah, they're selling those things for $2.99, those DVDs. I don't want to ruin it for everybody. Waste their $3.
So he plays Thor.
Okay. And you've got Natalie Portman as Jane Foster.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Natalie Portman.
Okay.
We got Tom Hiddleston as Loki.
Yep.
Anthony Hopkins, of course, as Odin.
As Odin. He's going to be great.
Yeah, he's going to be awesome.
One eye.
Yes. We got Ray Stevenson, Stuart Townsend, and Tadanobu Asano, who are the three warriors.
Oh, that's right. I saw that on the news last week.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So, and Idris Elba... now joining the
this
cast.
This is going to be an awesome movie. Yeah. Like
everything's coming together.
Yeah, you know what? The cast is not, it's blockbuster, but it's not like Hollywood star kind of blockbuster. It's solid actors. Man, I'm so looking forward to this movie.
Yeah, it's going to be good. Yeah. It's going to be really good. And they're treating it right. And Kenneth Branagh there, the director, he's like going full tilt.
Kenneth Branagh, he's an amazing director. Yes. He directing Hamlet and directing all these other kind of great movies.
So I want to see I want to see him treated like Shakespearean. A couple of asides, a couple of, you know...
a couple of soliloquies. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Like that,
yes.
In Egypt, Chris, I read this. The Egyptian authorities officially banned a graphic novel called Metro, considered the country's first organically grown graphic novel.
Okay.
And they found the two authors basically guilty of distributing, infringing on public decency.
Really?
So,
why is that? Do we know why?
Because relationships, men, women, probably a little bit of nudity and stuff. Yeah. And I guess I brought up the story graphic novels, I don't know. I mean, it's such a Western, North American type of thing.
Right.
Now, you're introducing this format of art and storytelling into a society that's very kind of...
probably a little reserved.
Reserved. Yep. And it's running into speed bumps there, right?
Yep.
And so they're going to fight it and stuff. But I guess it's like basically they're fighting the church, you know, the mosque.
Yeah, well, they're fighting politics, really.
Right.
Like,
and religion. Yeah, religious intolerance or whatever. So,
obviously they're going to have their own rules and regulations about what can be printed and what can't be printed.
Right.
And anything that goes above and beyond that, they're going to have issues with.
Yeah, so, everybody's rooting for Metro to take hold in Egypt, but they'll have to cross a few hurdles first.
Right. They're going to have to cross the Nile.
The Nile, yes. Chris, that is it.
Okay.
This week for industry news.
Well, you know, now that we're done industry news, first thing I'm going to ask you, we're running out of time already. We got like 5+ minutes here. I want to know your take on the show on the weekend. How did you find it? Did you find that it was a lot of hot books? Was it all like industry based as far as like, you know, the new stuff had to be like selling, or was there old stuff selling as well?
You know, a little bit of both. The new stuff there is available there. So basically, if your comic shop missed, if you don't subscribe and you missed three issues ago, those guys are going to the con.
Yeah, and can you get that stuff?
Yeah, and there's enough sellers in there of the modern stuff to get that.
Now, how about old books?
Where's the old books? Are segmented into two areas. Majority of the people are the bargain hunters. They're looking to fill in those runs of, you know, the comics from the 70s, 80s, and 90s, and they're bringing their lists and they're checking them off. Most of those books are found in bargain prices.
Right, right, okay.
And then there's a small segment of that show which revolves around big money books.
Right.
Harley Yee being the principal dealer there, bringing in stuff into Canada that basically that we don't see, and there's always excitement when he comes in and brings in some exciting new books. He's good at restocking.
Absolutely.
And stuff like that.
Now, you know what? I'm just gonna go out on a limb here. I'm going to ask you right in front of our audience that can we just defer our topic that we were going to talk about this week? Let's wait till next week because I want to know more about the show.
Okay.
Ooh, because no problem. I'm really interested. I want to know, you were talking about Harley Yee.
Yep.
Now, did you get a chance to talk to him at all?
Of course. I always talked to Harley.
Now, did he say what was selling, what was not selling? Did you get a chance to talk
to him? No, I never talked to him about that. But Harley being Harley, he always asks me, you know, have I picked up anything new?
Right.
Because
right. Well, and you know, that's got to be a bit of a boon for you, right? Because
not really.
Wow, come on. Yeah. Harley's been around. He does like what? He doesn't do like 45 shows a year?
Yeah, he has. But you see, he's a smart man. He, in a sense, wherever he goes, you know, I'm like that girl that's waiting for the Old Spice guy when he comes off the boat. You know, Harley has one at every city that he comes to.
Right. A port in every storm. Nice.
So my point is, I'm sure that Harley he treats me very well. Love the man, but I'm sure every town he goes into, he'll have a few dealers that he deals with that he knows, you know, can source good books,
right?
And he pays good money for them. So,
do you think we might ever be able to get Harley on the show?
I think we'd be able to, but we'd have to do it on location.
Right. Yeah, right. Okay.
It's a long drive for him. So.
Okay. Now, having said all that, now were there comic book guests at the show this weekend? Like our artists, I mean.
There were, but I'm not sure of which ones were. I mean, I know Leonard Kirk personally.
Right. Was he there?
Oh,
okay,
yes.
Cool. Yeah,
I believe Francis Manapul was
there. Oh, yeah, okay.
I could be totally wrong.
No, yeah,
but
I'm
think
sure
he was there.
You know,
yes.
Great Toronto-based guy.
Yeah.
And if Francis Manapul was there, I'm sure Agnes Wakowiczki was there. I don't know how to say her last
good,
name.
But, Welsh boy.
Or girl. Sure, yeah. Go ahead. Yeah. I'm sure she was there.
Yeah.
But was the room packed? Like, well, I just want to know about the feeling.
No,
of the
it was a good
show.
Vibe. It was a good vibe. People, there's a great sense of community at these things.
Right.
It was a great vibe. It's you go in, and the great part about this is if you've been in the comic scene like you and I have been, Chris, and most of those people in the room have been, crepe, you cannot turn your shoulder without running into somebody else
know. Right.
So it's almost like, hey, Joe, hey, Bob, hey, Bill, hey, Anna, hey, this, hey, that.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of your day is spent saying hi to people that you basically only see at Comic-Con.
Yes.
Because
yes.
they live in other cities.
Right.
And, you know.
Yep.
So you share that love and interest. And it's great. And that's a... You know, that's a good feeling in itself.
Absolutely.
You may not buy anything. I didn't spend much money, but...
You know what? I've been to many shows where I haven't bought anything.
Yes.
Or I'll spend maybe $5 on something just because... For the feeling of bringing home something.
Yes.
Right? But a lot of the times it is just, you know, getting to know people and seeing old friends and things like that.
Yeah.
You know, you've been in the industry for 20-plus years. I've been in the industry 20-plus years. Like, we know a lot of people.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun.
And that's good. But also the fans, too. You can tell that... you know, there is that really good sense of community.
For sure,
The next time, like I said before, the next time these little one-day shows, and they're $5. People, they're $5 to get in.
Yeah.
And they're very central, right down into Metro Toronto Convention
Center. And really, what are you going to get for $5 these
right,
days? Seriously.
Right.
Like, I mean, you can go there, spend the whole day, look at stuff, be entertained
yeah.
for a good 6 hours.
And Harley is not the only guy that has great old books.
No,
there are other dealers that have... quality old comics, if that's what you're into as well.
Now, was Wes Hagen
there? Wes Hagen was there, a great dealer out of Kitchener.
Yeah.
A young man named Andrew was there out of London. He does great on the old DC War stuff. And just, you know, many, many more.
Yeah, well, absolutely. I think all of our listeners should go and check out the next big comic convention, or little comic convention for that matter. Walt, you know what? It's unbelievable. Once again, we've run out of time here.
Chris, where does it go?
You know, I don't know. But once again, if you have any comments or questions, please email me at chris.owen@mohawkcollege.ca or mailbox@bigbcomics.com and go out, enjoy the day, read comics, you know, have fun.
See everybody next week.
Take care.